to the W.T. Wagner Estate in Vernon, Texas, which consists of more than a half million acres of ranching, farming, and oil production. Roman Hawley is responsible for managing 13,000 mother cows, 700 bulls, and the ranch's marketing programs. He has more than 30 years of experience in various areas of the beef cattle business. Please help welcome Mr. Roman Hawley, who will talk about identifying Angus genetics for commercial herds. Roman Hawley.
Okay, started this one off right. It's good to be in California. I was thinking yesterday, 30 years ago this month, California was a pretty sight to me. It was very beautiful when I come in yesterday. Uncle Sam flew me into Oakland from Vietnam. And I want you to know California was very pretty at that day, too. Very nice place to be. And 217 people to the acre. Do you realize how many people we could run on Wagner's? I've got 40 people, 37 people on 526,000 acres, and they think we're crowded out there. So they need to come to California. But anyway, I'm glad to be here. Wagner's is the largest ranch in Texas under one continuous fence, is what we call it. At this time, it's the largest, driest ranch in Texas under one continuous ranch. But we're going to go through this thing. We've got, we run our cows, the pastures run anywhere from 5,000 acres up to about 15 or 16,000. We run a cow to 20 acres, or we may run 12 cows to 20 sections. Dependent, she's about 60 miles long, east to west, 30 north and south in most places. So it's a pretty good ranch. It's got lots of different types of grasses, lots of different conditions. Some of the conditions on the herd bills, which I'll be talking about, is very tough. Some of them's not. Our cabin pastures are 1,000 acres. We take 4,000 or 5,000 acre pasture, split it up, and we calve in 1,000-acre pastures. That's the conditions we've got there. So anyway, I'm going to go with the deal. I'd also like to congratulate the American Angus Association on the formations of Mr. Crouch. I visited Mr. Crouch. He's very knowledgeable about the Angus cattle, and I guarantee you you're going the right direction. Bill Bowman, also. Bill and I have visited extensively. Matt Perrier. I remember back when we were getting in the EPD deal at Wagner's, pretty large. Matt was at Kansas State, I believe. His dad told me he was a senior at that time. And then Matt went on to be our regional manager and is extremely knowledgeable about the cattle and will do a fine job for the association. You're headed in the right direction. Just keep up the good work. We're going to go to a deal here that we call longevity. Scott's going to run the machine farm because you could tell the way I got up here on the podium, I can't run heavy equipment, especially two of them at one time. Okay, we've got a herd bull battery, Angus battery, of about 200 bulls. This fall, we'll have approximately 240 or 245, 100 being low, both weight Angus bulls, the remainder being beef bulls. We expect our bulls to last till they're 7 years of age, which we, that's five seasons for us, five breeding seasons. As you can see right here, this will be on Angus bulls, 35% of the bulls purchased last that 5 years. So initially, when I go buy a bull, I expect him to last till he's a 7 year old, but we're getting 35% of the bulls through that range of time. 65% were lost within a five-year period. And this is, we started keeping up with this about 5 years ago. So we'll get this data a lot closer. 10% death loss. It's about that per year. We don't lose a lot of bulls to death. BSE, 3%, and a lot of you will tell me, well, that's not enough. That's too low. Well, really, that's it. That's how we're getting along. The bulls are doing really well on that. This right here, 40% structure of condition, 8% per year. That's the large problem that we have with our bulls going out, whether it be the first season we turn them out, second, third, fourth, fifth. Normally, if a bull makes it on Wagner's until the third season, he's got a good chance there. And this right here, I got my cowboys and my boss that's over the bulls. He's over the replacement half the program and the bulls. And I asked him to do this for me. And this is the order of problems that we have with Angus bulls that we have on Wagner Ranch. If a bull comes in crippled, of course we doctor him. We try to save every bull we can. Because of the expense, feet, number one. Okay, we do. We have foot rot in our area some. Majority of the feet problems we have is from toes breaking off. They may leave the breeders' ranches or their operations with their feet nice and straight, toes nice and straight. 2 years' time, Wagner Ranch, the toes will be crooked. We'll go out there. We do trim the feet of the bulls if need be. Sometimes his toes will break off, but that's his number one problem right there. They'll roll back on that ankle joint. There's several different things that can affect him, but that's the number one problem. Stifle, of course. Stifle's common. Depending on the seasons we have, when it starts raining again, and in a muddy season, we have a lot of stifle problems at the ranch. Shoulders, again, would be one. Knees, hocks, the back. The back used to be one of our major problems with bulls. Now, I'll tell you why. We had the frame scores up on the bulls, and they were so long that we had lots and lots of problems with it. Well, now you've just about eliminated that. We've moved the frame scores back on the bulls, and that's definitely been a large help. But this longevity deal for Wagner's, it's very expensive replacing all of the bulls. And this is something we've increased 10%. So far, we feel like by our management of the bulls, the way we take care of them, the way they're handled. 5 years ago, Wagner's would not have bought a yearling bull. Now I buy bulls in the spring. Some of the producers hold them through the summer for me. Deliver them to me in the fall, and while they're at their ranches or operations, they'll take them off of the feeds and just keep the calves growing. They deliver them to us there at the ranch sometime around October and September. I put them on grass, 20% cubes, and that's the way we acclimate the bulls through the winter and get them ready for a turnout in April. We turn our heifer bulls low birth out in March. And so that alone, with the selection of structure, I hope, is in some of it, plus with what you folks are doing, has increased this deal about 10% that we can see. So if we keep raising that number up there, we can afford to give more for the bulls. I know you say, well, I won't be able to sell as many because they're going to last longer. But still, that's going to help all of us as an industry. Okay, the process, we're going to visit about the guarantee. Very, very good deal. At least some people won't do it. When I tell them, well, we're going to take them out there and turn a bull loose on in 20,000 acres, well, they don't want to guarantee them because there's so many things that can happen. But a lot of you folks are doing that, and it's helping a lot. Other than being valuable to me, it shows me the confidence you have in your own operation. And I'm not saying that anyone will have a bull that will get hurt during that first breeding season. We're finding out now, since we're keeping up with it, that for some reason or another, the boys will survive longer. Okay. Anyway, as I was saying, this right here helps me with approximately 12 to 13% of my replacement cost off the bills lost the first year. If I buy a bull with that first year guarantee or first breeding season, 90-day guarantee, I recover about 12 to 13% of that. And again, as I said, with your confidence, that helps me down the road too.
Okay, Scott.
Bull cycle, this is something you all know, we all do, we just don't think about it. So, right here, if I sell a bull to ConAgra, for instance, or sell a calf to ConAgra, I've got 3.5 years investments here before his first calf from Wagner's will be processed. A lot of people don't realize that. That bull's 4.5 years old. He's well down the road. Hopefully, he makes it to this point. Other than this bull being 4.5 years old, and our returns appear, also, with our selection of replacement heifers, we replace it, ran them through the pastures. Very few of the calves are selected out of the low birth weights, so the majority of them will come out of the cow herds. And so anyway, we get to here, and I've got got bulls on one set of heifers already, and we're selecting another set of heifers out of the bulls. This brings us to inferior bulls. The reason I have this here is, what if I go through this? If I go somewhere and I'm buying 20 or 25 bulls, I go through the whole process without individual identification, which I do not have on that many cows. We're not able to keep up with that. We're not trying to raise at Wagner's. I'm not trying to raise one or two or 10 or 100 perfect calves. We're trying to make them all good if we can. Something that will satisfy the people. This right here, if I turn 25 bulls out that's inferior or that claps somewhere down the road on us, I've got a large chance of raising some cattle that's not going to make it. And the thing, the worst part of this is I don't know where they're at. I have no idea. They're going to catch them at the packers where it's going to show up. So this right here is something that we sure try to stay away from, and I'll show you here just a little bit later how we try to do that. Okay, Scott. Evaluation of kill data. Okay. Before I buy bulls, each year I visit with my customers, we discuss kill data. What's important? Of course, conversion, as you've watched there earlier, quality grade, yield grade. Those are the three things we talk about. This being the most important. Right here. I've got to have calves. We wean the calves in the fall, run them on grass through the winter, run them on wheat pasture. We sell everything as yearlings. So when we go to sell the calves, we want them to eat. We would like for that yearling to keep eating once he hits the feed yard. But I'd also like for him the quality grade and the yield grade. Because it's going to help me down the road also. And the way we're going to accomplish that is with the help from the people like you, the seed stock producers. That's the only way that I'm going to be able to get above average cattle. Criteria, beef bull criteria, we'll get to that in just a second. Low birth weight, high accuracy sires. That's the key to my bull buying, I feel like here. And if we had the time to run you through the old spreadsheet that we use at Wagner's, you'll would be able to see this. I've got lots and lots of progeny out of high accuracy sires. My purpose for doing that being to stay away from inferior cattle. Not to say that all of EXT's calves are going to be good cattle. But I stand a better chance of buying a calf with a high accuracy. I find just standing a better chance of him helping me down the road. We, along with this, we look at the maternal side on that too. We'll pull that thing up for two or three generations, look at the cow side, and of course the sire for sure, and kind of look back and see what we're doing. We're not trying to get into the seed stock business. I have no intention of doing that. I'm not smart enough. I'll have to leave that up to you folks. But we're going to try to raise the best commercial cattle that we can. EPDs. I love EPDs. My secretary said I'm obsessed with it. Acceptable birth weight. What is an acceptable birth weight? I started out at 3 and now I'm up to 4 and I've got a few that's 5. So how good the calf is, his records, that affects this to some extent. I'd rather keep a calf around the 3 if I could. A bull would be moderate for me, but sometimes it doesn't work that way. Above average weaning weight. I think the average for the Angus now is 32 or 33. My operation in the way my crossbreeding program is, the way we go about things, I try to keep bulls above this, or I'll just raise average cattle. Same with the yearling weight. Wean weight's important. We do not wean fat calves in our country. It's dry, it's hard, it's tough. We try to sell fat calves as yearlings off of wheat pasture if we have the wheat. So this right here concerns us a good bit. Average milk, you've got your milk there, 15 is what we look for. It's plenty in my country. I'm trying to maintain 1,150-pound cow if I can, so we can keep that milk around 15, chill milk, and kind of hold together for us and maybe breed back down the road. Okay, we're going to go to a spreadsheet I use. We've kind of got part of it cut off to make it fit. This is one of them. What we do, this is a pasture up here you see at the top. You won't be able to read it. We keep up with the bulls. When the bulls come in from your operations, they're going to be branded. Their tattoo number is going to be on the left hip. When I drive up to him in a pasture, I can look at his left hip, pull a spreadsheet out, and it's got his sire, what his dam was out of, his EPDs, everything except ultrasound. If I've got a problem with one, if I see it in there, I go in, get on the internet, pull it up, look at it, compare it, see where I've gone wrong. See what happens. This is the bulls here that you'll see that's turned out. We can pull this up. It's also really good in our pastures. We've got lots of pastures, got a lot of cattle running. The bulls get mixed up. Cowboy looks at this bull, knows he's in the wrong pasture. We use it for that also. We turn out 10 bulls. The bulls are identified with these numbers. That's the numbers we expect to come back out of the pastures that they were put out in. And that's how we try to keep things straight. We do a lot of sire grouping. I do lots of sire grouping. And I do that. We're doing that now for consistency. We're going to see if it does help with consistency. I've been told over the years to pick bulls by EPDs. We've tried that. And off of different breeders, I'd get the EPDs as close as I could. We'd look at the calves in the pastures. I have the luxury of doing that. I can put bulls on 150 cows or 300 cows, if need be, make comparisons. Of course, the only thing I'll go through, I'll look at this right here. I've got a chart. I'll grade the calves. They'll be evaluated when they're born in the spring of the year. We start calving January, February. As soon as I've got 50 or 60% of the calves on the ground, the camper that's over that line count will tell me that. He'll let me know when we get enough kids on the ground. We'll go around and evaluate. We look at size, health, everything, and compare them. I'll run cows. Say there's a fence right here. I'll put cows here and cows over here. Same age, same country, pasture conditions, virtually identical. We compare bulls off of different breeders or out of different sires, just any way we want to do that. As I said, we sire group. If I do not have enough to sire group, I'll run the bulls off one breeder's operation on one side, run the bulls off of another breeder's operation on the other. We keep weaning weights, they're already evaluated, and then in instances, we'll identify. We'll identify the case, we'll watch them run through his yearlings. And now we're in the process with one of our customers identifying some calves off from two different seed stock producers. We're going to follow them plumb through the packer stage. It'll be pretty interesting. Okay. This is a spreadsheet you sure won't be able to see. It's one that I keep with me all the time. Of course, we've taken the cat's name and his registration number out to make all of this fit on here. This being the sire, his registration would be there, and this being a dam. The H here is for herd bull, or beef bull. RH being replacement heifer. And as you can see right here, there's off of this producer, we've got sires with a sire group. Some here, same here. Low birth. Criteria on low birth weight bulls, similar to the beef bulls. The only thing, I'll sure give up something right here. This being a birth weight, up and down this. Okay, EPD for weaning weights, yearling weights, maternal weaning weight, milk, and milk and growth in your last column. But this will give you an idea kind of what we shoot for right in here. Here's a 5.6 out of 234D that I bought. But that's kind of what we look for. Try to keep this thing here above average. 4288, 35, 36, so I can tell that I'm moving upward just a little bit. If there's any way we can do that. Low birth weight, I've just got to have a live calf if possible. I've got that, like I said, we breed with calving 1,000-acre pastures. We're breeding at yearlings. And the largest expense we have on Wagner's today's cow replacement. If she can't calve, if we have to help her, if we injure her, she doesn't breed back. That's an expense to us. But you've got the bulls now where we can do that. We've decreased the dystasia problems immensely in the last 4 or 5 years. I've been running DNA on all the bulls. I'll DNA the low birth bulls when they come in. We pull a big calf, we weigh him. We'll spot that calf. It's sent to a company out here in California. If it's 85 pounds or over, we locate the bull, he's out of there. And that's one of the things that's helped us as much as anything. We can hold that problem down by doing that. Of course, you'll have one. Even with low EPDs, every once in a while there's going to be a bull that'll show up that'll get 90 or 100 pound calves. It's happening. And I know, I understand that the heifers play a part in that. But you can sure tell. If we had a bull this year that when I got the results back from California, I opened the sheet and knew immediately what the problem was. And he's gone. That's the way we handle that. But we keep all the information right here. Have we got that other sheet? Okay. There'll be another one off that other spreadsheet, Scott. I may have missed it. But anyway, I'll just ramble on about this. On the carcass information, I take all of that. I go through your catalogs. We have catalogs, advertisement, newspapers. Any way you can get your information out, you need to do that. Make it available to us whenever you can. It's the bulls I buy this year is for 2003 turnout. The bulls I start evaluating and searching for today, next week when I go home, whenever it'll be for 2004. That's how far down the road I'm looking at this deal. Ultrasound, very important. I look at your information, of course, your EPDs, your carcass information, the compositions that you have for me in your catalogs. When I get to a sale, or before I get that, please have the actual ultrasound information available. I may want to buy 20 bills with 14-inch ribeyes, and it's hard to do if I can't see it. So whenever you have the opportunity to do that, always supply all the information you can, because it's a tremendous help to us. You're doing a fantastic job with the Black Angus cattle. I appreciate it. We all do. And just keep up the good work. And I will quit walking around here mumbling now so we can get on. But thank you very much for having me in California.